morning and Merry Christmas. Let's stand together as we sing out a great Christmas song this morning. Joy to the world. Let's sing this out together.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let us
so glad you're spending a little bit of Christmas morning with us today, and we hope you've had a good weekend already. Looking forward to worshiping together here for a few minutes as we get Christmas Day started. Some of you maybe got up early this morning, and this is halfway through the day, but we're glad that you're spending some time with us this morning. Let's pray as we begin today. Father, we're so grateful that we can gather together as a church family, and Lord, it does feel like family when we're all together and around the central theme of Jesus Christ and celebrating his birth. We're grateful for our church, and we're grateful for the friends of our church that are here today. We're thankful for extended family that are visiting us and kids home from college. And Lord, just for your many, many blessings. Thank you for healing in our church family this weekend and for your provision. And thank you for time with gifts and with food and with family that we can enjoy as we think about the gift of salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, today we want to lift up Jesus, and we want to think about him. We want to worship him. And Lord, we want to magnify him in our minds and to one another as we celebrate his birth, his coming to earth, so that you, God, would be with us. Thank you that we can do that together as a church family today. Help us as we worship you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can remain seated. We'll sing out another great Christmas song, Silent Night, Holy Night. Let's sing this out together. of incarnate love divine, star and angels gave their sign. Bow to babe on bended knee, the Savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born, he shall reign forevermore. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. The story of amazing love, the light of the world, given for us, Noel. Son of God and Son of Man, there before the born to suffer, born to save, born to raise us from the grave. Christ the everlasting Lord, he shall reign forevermore. No. Story of amazing love, the light of the world, given for us, The story of amazing love, the light of the world, given for us, Noel,
Amen. Thank you, Jeremy. The light of the world given for us. That's a really powerful truth I want to think about for just a moment this morning. Last week I was in an airplane, and if you travel by airplane, you know this to be true, but Michigan is super cloudy. But on the other side of the clouds, there's something that we don't see very often, and that is what? The sun, yeah, and you break through the clouds, and there it is. And I'm like, hello, old friend, I've missed you. It's been a little while. Have you noticed how we humans, we tend to be attracted to light? But give me another example. What to you? The sun above the clouds is certainly attractive this time of year, but what for you? A light maybe you're attracted to. Help me out this morning. Come on. It's just family today. What's that? Christmas lights. Yeah, do you love Christmas lights? There's a couple houses in our neighborhood. It looks like the Christmas fairy kind of got sick and poof, you know, like lights of all types of colors and themes. But Christmas lights are beautiful. What else? Yeah, campfires attract a boy. And when you're setting up camp, one of the first things you want to do, right? Sunsets, sun rises, a spectacular moon. If you're up in the UP, perhaps, or northern Michigan, you get a glimpse of the northern lights, or maybe more stars than you see down here with all of our city lights. I know for me, on Sunday mornings in the winter, I like to stand over here at one of these windows on the east side and just catch a little bit of sunshine on my back, if we're so fortunate to have the sun up in the morning. I don't think of myself as a scaredy cat in the dark, but if you put me in the woods at night and it's pitch black, a flashlight for me is very, very comforting. I'm even comforted a little bit when I open my weather app and I see a sunshine icon. It's like, it's coming back someday, I know. Did you know that a display of light has been a major part of the Christmas story all along? I just want to think about this for just a few minutes this morning as we celebrate Christmas together and as we worship Jesus. The light of the world was given as a gift for us. Think about the difference that makes. I don't know if you remember in Luke chapter 2, it says that the angel appeared to the shepherds. Remember the story? The angel appeared to the shepherds. And it says that the glory of the Lord shone all around them. They were standing in a wash of light when the angel was speaking to them. It was a star. It was a bright star of light that guided the Magi as they came from the east to see the baby Jesus. There's also references to metaphorical light leading up to and throughout the Christmas story. Do you remember Zacharias? He was the father of John the Baptist. And Mary came while she was pregnant to visit Zacharias and Elizabeth. And Zacharias actually prophesied from a prophecy. So Zacharias, he says this, "And thou, child, shall give light to them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." This was from Isaiah chapter 9, where the prophet says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light." So Zacharias says, this baby is going to fulfill that prophecy and bring light to a dark world. And then remember, when Jesus was born, he was just a few days old. They take him to the temple, and Simeon picks him up. And again, he says, "Mine eyes have seen God's salvation, a light to lighten the Gentiles." And of course, these prophecies were exactly right. This is exactly what Jesus did. He brought light to a darkened world, a world that had been darkened by sin. As Isaiah and Zacharias prophesied, and as Simeon declared, Jesus was, according to the Apostle John in John 1, life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus himself claimed this, right? He spake unto them, saying, "I am the what? I am the light of the world. Light has come to your dark world." Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, "For God gave us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You could say it this way. We were in the dark, so to speak, about what God was like. And then Jesus came on that first Christmas and Jesus shed some light on the subject, right? We were in the dark. Jesus shed light on the subject. And how so? He demonstrated for us what the Father was like. Jesus said, "I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Aren't you glad that Jesus pierced the darkness with light? I'm glad. It has made all of the difference. Everything that we've got as believers, the whole reason that we gather on a weekly basis for worship, the whole reason we sing songs, the whole reason we have the Word of God, the reason we call ourselves the family of God, the reason we think of ourselves as the forgiven children of God as He thinks of us, the reason we anticipate eternal life, it is all because of the light of Jesus that was given on that first Christmas morning. He answers the question of darkness. I just want to think about a couple of ways that darkness maybe gets into our lives. It creeps into our lives. And I want to remind you that Jesus is the solution for the darkness that you have. Any darkness in your life, Jesus is what that darkness is craving. So just a couple of things. One, depravity can seem like darkness. You ever ask yourself, you look around the world and you're like, what is wrong with us? What is wrong with the world? And of course, we know as Christians, what's wrong with the world is sin, right? We're broken. We're cursed because of our sin. And Jesus solves this. We look at the perversion of our world, and it shows up in the most strange places and just out of the blue, a World Cup goalie demonstrates juvenile perversion in front of the world and in front of world leaders. You turn on music and you think, how in the world did darkness pervade this music so deeply? Entertainment, news, what is wrong with us? What's wrong is that we are in darkness. We're depraved. Depravity is spiritual darkness. Let's do just a couple of verses. Here's John chapter 3. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Men don't want the light of the gospel. Like those described in Psalm 82, we know not and neither do we understand when we walk in darkness. Psalm 107, some people sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron because they rebel against the words of God. Proverbs 2:13, some people leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness. The depravity of the world sometimes can be like oppressive darkness to a Christian. And it's saddening and frustrating and depressing. Secondly, disappointment and dread can seem like darkness. Fear, the things that life brings at us. You know this. Life is full of disappointing people and disappointing circumstances, right? And yet Jesus, he brings light to both relationships and life's problems. And can I just tell you, maybe this Christmas is a disappointing one for you. Maybe you've got some fear, some frustration, some worry, some grief that you're dealing with today. And can I just tell you, if that's you, you're not alone. You're not alone here. And by the way, followers of God have at times felt this for millennia. I think about David. David was running from his king, the guy that he thought was like the person to be, his hero, King Saul. David was running from King Saul, and King Saul just hated his guts, literally wanted to kill him every time he saw him. And David says this in Psalm 18, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. I feel like I'm in the dark because of broken relationships. For Job, it was serious loss, right? Remember what Job lost. He says this, when I looked for good, evil came to me. And when I waited for light, then came darkness. Relationships, difficulty, a lot of times that brings darkness. Can you imagine Mary on that first Christmas morning? She was probably a bit disappointed, maybe a little bit dreadful of having to give birth in a stable with the animals and lay her precious little baby in a manger, a feeding trough for those animals. I'm sure that for her, there was a little bit of disappointment, a little bit of fear there that first Christmas morning. Distress and doubt also bring darkness, distress, anxiety of the soul. Have you ever questioned, is God still in control? Is he still good? Does he still love me? Is it still worth it to live a life of faith? Think about Mary and Joseph on that 90-mile trek from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Do you suppose at times they thought, you know what, is it worth it to be used of God in this special way and then to show up and to be disappointed with the accommodations and to have some fear? Here's Joseph, a carpenter. He works with his hands like many of you men have done for a career, working with his hands. And then he's asked to deliver the Son of God for his wife alone. There must have been some distress and some doubt along the way. I've never delivered a baby, let alone in those circumstances. Can you imagine the fear and the doubt that they were experiencing? God, is this really your plan? Lord, are you really in control? Is right really going to prevail here? Easy for us to doubt when life seems dark. But remember, Jesus, it wasn't just a difficult start. It was a challenging start, right? Mom and dad have to make this long trek, and then he's born under less than ideal circumstances to a poor family in an oppressed nation. I mean, it's difficult. Hopefully, things look up from here, right? But they don't, right? He starts his ministry, And it just continues. The darkness just continues to beat on Jesus until at the very last, his disciples, as they watch his ministry, they watch his life, he is condemned to death and then buried in a borrowed tomb. How depressing and distressful that must have seemed. Remember the two disciples that were walking on the road to Emmaus? Remember that story? And Jesus greets them. He's like, "What's wrong with you guys?" And they say, "Haven't you heard? Like, don't you know what's going on? The one who we thought was going to solve the problems of mankind, the light has gone out." I mean, they were distressed over this. They say at the end, verse 21, "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We thought Jesus was the one." Depravity, disappointment, distress, doubt, dread, all of these things come about and seem like darkness in our life. But I just want to show you really quickly that Jesus solves all of that. He solves all of it. He is the light that penetrates all of that darkness. And as you go today, and as we walk out of here, and as we spend more time with our families, and maybe some of you are still waiting to open a few presents or some stockings or have a big meal together today, as you do that time of celebration, I just want to challenge you to think about Jesus as this bright and shining light that penetrates the darkness, not just of the world, but the darkness of your life. Because there are, if you haven't experienced darkness, you will. There will be times when you feel like, the darkness is creeping in, Lord. I need some light. And Jesus is the solution. Let me just show you really quickly. He solves the problem of depravity, sinfulness. John 8:12, "Then Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." If you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, maybe you don't understand what that even means. Like, what is the light of life? Can I just tell you that when a human being comes to the understanding that, wow, I have a sin problem, I need some help, I need a savior, and they put their faith in Jesus alone to be that savior, when a human being gets to that place in their life, often it feels like the end of the rope, the deepest and darkest point of life, I have to reach out for something, and Jesus is there. And when a person gets to that point of exclusive trust in Jesus Christ, he solves the sin problem. He solves the problem of depravity. Remember Jesus talking to Saul of Tarsus, who we know as the Apostle Paul in Acts? He says this, "You're going to open their eyes and turn the Gentiles from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Jesus says, listen, Paul, your job is to take the light. It's almost like Jesus says, You can just package me up in the gospel and I'm going to have you take me to all of Asia and into Europe. And you're going to open that package up. You're going to shine my light, shine the gospel on the sin problem. The world's depravity doesn't need reform. What the world's depravity needs is Jesus. Amen. They need the light that we celebrate this morning. He solves the problem of depravity. Number two, Jesus solves the problem of disappointment and dread. He solves it for a couple of reasons. One, he's with us. We have his presence. Matthew 1:23, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive or shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is what? Can you read it with me? God with us. The whole point of Christmas is that God came down to be with us. And so when I'm going through disappointment, when I'm going through fear, when it feels like darkness is creeping in on my life, I need to remember, wait a minute, Jesus is with me. The Creator God is with me. The Savior is with me. Number two, we have reason to praise when disappointment and dread trying to creep in. 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." There's a reason to praise God today. You with me? There's a reason, because we've been called out of darkness into light. And so we can not only celebrate his presence, but also we can praise. Thirdly, we have each other. 1 John 1:7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, We have fellowship one with another. That reference is probably fellowship with Jesus. But later on in 1 John, he talks about fellowship with one another as well. We have the family of God. Think about the blessing of that. When darkness creeps in, when disappointment and dread creep in, you are not alone. And by the way, can I just remind you, church, we've talked about this before in the past. But can I just remind you, when you're going through difficulty, don't go alone. Don't go alone. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we think that there's some kind of respectability in saying, oh, I don't need prayer. I don't need support. I can handle this on my own. Baloney. The Christian life is a life of interdependency on the body of Christ and on Jesus. So lean in. Lean in to one another. When you're in the light, you have fellowship one with another. And then fourthly, we have his grace. I mean, if all else fails, you have the grace of God. Psalm 112, unto the upright there arises a light in the darkness. What is it? Grace, compassion, righteousness. We have this incredible light when darkness sets in. So Jesus, he solves the problem of depravity. If you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, he is the solution you're looking for. If you feel like, I don't even know where to go, like spiritually, I feel like I'm lost, like I'm just kind of groping in the dark. It's Jesus that you're looking for. That's not just religious speak or pastor trying to promote the idea of church. That is reality. He is not just the reason for the season of Christmas, but he is the answer for your darkness spiritually. But secondly, Jesus solves the problem of disappointment and dread. If you're going through difficulty, if you're going through a hard time, if this Christmas is a little bit dark, turn to Jesus, embrace Jesus Christ. And then lastly, distress and doubt. If you're going through a little bit of stress and doubt, Jesus solves that too. Psalm 36 verse 9 says, for with thee, God, is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Here's the idea of Psalm 36. And that is that if your world seems dark, just get over closer to God. Because God is light, right? Suddenly the world will seem a little brighter when you are closer to your master, to your savior, to your creator God. Colossians chapter 1, I think this is one of the coolest passages of scripture when it comes to needing encouragement spiritually. It says, give thanks, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in what? In light. Who's delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. When you're distressed, when you're in doubt, think about the gift of salvation. Think about the fact that you have an inheritance. You are adopted. You are forgiven. God is for you and he's with you. Think about that. He's for you and he's with you when life seems dark. Jesus solves the depravity problem, the disappointment problem, the dread problem, the distress problem, the doubt problem. Jesus' light solves all of that. And I would just encourage you, if it interests you, to explore scripture a little bit. Just look up four, maybe three words, dark, darkness, and light in scripture, and just see that it is all throughout scripture, and it is all focused on one person, Jesus Christ. He is the light. He solves the darkness issue from Old Testament all the way through the New. Just 4 days ago was winter solstice. I don't know how you feel about winter solstice. I get kind of excited thinking that the days are getting longer. All right. So the 21st was the shortest day of the year, the longest night. For some of us, this is the hardest day to be in a good mood, right? Because it's like, I need a little bit of sunshine. I'm starting to get that syndrome that people get when they don't have enough sunshine. Whatever that thing is called, I'm having it, right? I need a little bit more light. Sometimes the darkness of depravity and doubt and dread and distress, those can close in on us. And it can put us in a bad mood spiritually. You with me? It just feels like life is too heavy. Can I just tell you that the light came once? 2,000 years ago, the light came once, and he's coming back. You with me? I mean, I think that's one of the cool things that I think Holden reminded us this last Christmas season, that Christmas is really about the light coming back. And for us in Michigan, that sounds awesome, right? Little sunshine's coming back. The days are going to get longer. I know it's hard to imagine, but there's going to be a day, like in 6 months, where we're standing around going, my goodness, it's hot, right? It's hard to imagine, but it's true. And the grass is going to burn up because there's too much sunshine. It's coming back. And spiritually, this is true as well. It seems dark. It seems cloudy. It seems too difficult. The light is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Don't despair. Don't despair over depravity. Don't despair over difficult circumstances. The light is coming back. And this Christmas, I would challenge you to celebrate Jesus as the light, the solution to all of man's problems. Father, we're so grateful for Jesus. Thank you for looking down from heaven, seeing our need, and in spite of your perfection and the fact that we deserve to die for our sin, in spite of those things, in spite of your holiness and in spite of your justice, Lord, your love and your grace won out. It overruled. And in mercy, you sent Jesus, your perfect son, to take on human flesh, to live a perfect life, to die a substitutionary death, to raise from the grave, and to give us eternal life. You did that because of your love and your grace. Completely undeserved by us. Not even a whisper of merit in us. And yet you chose to save us completely free of charge by your grace when we put our faith in your son, Jesus. Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know Jesus as Savior and has never had the light of the truth of Jesus shine into their dark heart, I pray that today they would put their faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, for those of us that have put our faith in Jesus, it seems like the light or the darkness still continues to press its way into our lives. This life in a cursed world is sometimes hard and difficult. We ask, Lord, that you would please help us to turn to Jesus, the light of the world. Help us today as we celebrate him with one another for a few minutes, and then as we go home with our families and continue to think about the light of the world, may we elevate Jesus in our own minds and in the minds of those around us. We love him. We're so thankful for him. We pray this in his name. Amen.
Let's stand together as we close the service this morning. Angels from the realms of glory, let's sing this out.
Thank you for watching this video of one of our recent services. It's a pleasure for us to have you join us from a distance and join our church in a time of worship around the Word of God. The most important message that we can tell you is that God loves you. And he loves you so much that he gave Jesus Christ as payment for your sins. And the Bible says that all that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. We want you to know that message, that true life is found in Jesus Christ. An eternal life, the opportunity to live with God forever in heaven, in spite of our sinfulness. True life is only found in Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Would you be willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to pray something like this? Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know there's nothing I can do about my sinfulness. I don't want to pay for my own sin, and I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want His death on the cross to pay for my sins. I want to repent from doing things my own way and make Jesus Lord of my life. Would you be willing to pray something like that and put your faith in Jesus Christ? If so, we want to help you as you start your spiritual journey with Jesus Christ. God loves you. Our church loves you. We're glad that you could watch this message today. God bless.